I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
also
evil.
Also making his way to the octagon, the 45th president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. Blacked by UFC CEO Dana White.
Donald Trump is at Mar-a-Lago hosting Hungary's autocratic prime minister, Viktor Orban, on Friday. To quote, to discuss a wide range of issues affecting Hungary and the United States. Orban, who has close ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin, has refused to provide any aid to Ukraine while seeking to turn his own country into an illiberal state.
Under the cover of darkness, a U.S. military helicopter evacuated non-essential personnel from the U.S. embassy in Port-au-Prince. The embassy will remain operational, and that same helicopter brought in extra security, presumably U.S. Marines, to help guard the embassy as the increased gang violence that has paralyzed Haiti continues.
Residents of the city will see a major change in the way police respond. They will no longer respond to calls that aren't considered in-progress emergency. That means calls like criminal mischief, theft, harassment, and most burglary alarms will all be handled by an enhanced telephone reporting unit. That means residents will file a police report over the phone. Officers will not respond unless it's an emergency.
It seems clear to many of us that Nathan Wade did not answer truthfully in his divorce proceedings when asked if he had a sexual relationship during the course of his marriage up to the point in which he filed his answer. He insists that he simply read that in a rather strange and narrow way. Willis is also standing contradicted. So the question for the judge is going to be, well, if you believe that they in fact lied on the stand, how can you believe the other answers?
A federal judge has sentenced former Trump economic advisor Peter Navarro to 4 months behind bars for defying a congressional subpoena from the House January 6th Select Committee.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, live from Washington, D.C. Today is March 11th, 2024, Anno Domini. Imagine only having 8 days of freedom left. That's the position of Dr. Peter Navarro, the new public enemy number one of the Biden DOJ and the Biden administration. Peter Navarro has just been ordered to report on March 19th, 1 week from tomorrow, to federal prison in Miami. Understand the situation. Peter Navarro was the number one China trade hawk in the entire Trump administration. He was Trump's director of trade and manufacturing, the CCP's top adversary. And he was hated by the CCP's cronies on Wall Street and in big business. Are you paying attention yet? This administration is compromised. Compromised from the very start, compromised even before it began. They want Peter Navarro to not be able to serve in another Trump administration, in the next Trump administration, which will begin in less than 1 year's time. The CCP does not want this man anywhere near the next Trump administration. Oh, they're going to put all the people around they can. They're going to put all the CCP fans. They're going to say, oh, we need a trade deal. We need most favorable nation status. Stop taking those steel cases to the World Trade Organization. Stop going after the money. Don't touch the money. No, no, no. Don't touch the money, please. There's just too much money. All the billionaires making money off of the trade deals. But Peter Navarro was someone who stood in their way. Peter Navarro, and honestly, Ambassador Lighthizer as well, understood the score. This is an economic situation. If the CCP wants the ability to have the honor of being able to sell and do business to the American people and in American markets, then they can afford to take a little haircut. They can afford to take a little off the top. There's going to be tariffs. They're going to be coming in, and it's going to happen. Mark my words. And President Trump has internalized this. So even though they're extracting their revenge from Peter Navarro, let me tell you something. The haircuts will continue, CCP. You are not going to be in the driver's seat anymore. And Dr. Peter Navarro, our heart goes out to you. We're sending power, and we're going to make sure that everybody knows the injustice that is going on in America. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Grew up in the hood. I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events today. I want to tell you really quick about today's advertising sponsor, our partner, Fume. Fume is an innovative, award-nominated essential oils infuser. No electronics. Fume is completely natural, no use of vapor. Fume uses essential oil-flavored air, and there's no harmful chemicals. Fume uses, by the way, this is a habit that Human Events listeners can get behind. It's a habit that you are free to enjoy and can make replacing your bad habits easy. Look, producer Vlad's over there. Try Fume out. I got to tell you, he said that it was a pleasant surprise, flavorful and fresh, well-balanced and looks fantastic, made with real wood, feels great to use, and you can stop bad habits. And we all know that putting them off is hard, but I'm told that switching to Fume is easy, enjoyable, and even fun. Fume has served over 100,000 customers, thousands of success stories, and there's no reason that can't be you too. Join Fume in celebrating humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up the Journey Pack today. Start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/poso and get their Journey Pack today. The Human Events Daily audience, you get 10% off when they use promo code POSO to make starting the good habit that much easier. Tryfume, tryfume.com/poso. Very honored to have back on here Senator Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin, which I'm sure I'll be at later this year for the convention. I can't wait to get some of those world famous cheese curds. Everybody knows that whenever I have to talk Wisconsin, it is obligatory that I mention them because I have fallen in love with them during my past trips to Wisconsin, although I have horribly fallen into terrible disgrace for not being able to make them myself, even though I've tried many, many times in the kitchen. And my wife will tell you it has not gone well. Senator Ron Johnson joins us today here at Human Events. Senator, thank you so much for being here.
Well, don't feel bad. I don't think anybody can make them other than cheesemakers. You need a big old vat, and it's the curds that rise to the top of that vat. And you've got to get them before they're refrigerated. So you get them there fresh that morning, and then they squeak, and there's really nothing
like
them.
That's the issue. That's the issue. You can't see. I tried to bring them from Wisconsin back home, and we were trying to get them made in the Poso kitchen, and it never worked. It just never worked at all. And
once refrigerated, if you pop them a small amount into the microwave for about 5 seconds, you can bring them back maybe about 70%. They're not as good as fresh, but fresh is just wonderful.
Okay. It's something else. Mars Cheese Castle right down there outside of Kenosha for my money. I'm definitely 100% going to be stopping there while I am in town this summer. But Senator, speaking of stopping around, turns out that Senator Mitch McConnell, since last time you and I spoke, has announced that he is going to be stepping down at the end of this year. And Senate leadership elections are in swing. In addition to the presidential election, we now have the Senate leadership situation going on. Tell me what you can and our audience about the inside horse trading that's going on and where the players are.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that Leader McConnell announced it early so we can take the time to go through a process. And this is what I've been talking about. Is I'm not interested in a horse race yet, a personality contest. We shouldn't be holding our election anytime soon. What we need to do is we need to go through a process. First and foremost, we have to figure out what is the Republican Senate conference all about? I mean, what do we stand for? What are we willing to fight for? Now, I come from the private sector, and most successful organizations have vision and mission statements. They've got principles that they, you know, that guide them, that they've got goals that they establish. They people within their organizations know the role they play in accomplishing those goals and accomplishing that mission. That's not Congress. That's not the Senate Republican Conference. So from my standpoint, if we're going to be a successful organization, we need to go through that process. And the individuals that may want to lead us, they've got to be fully involved. They've got to help us craft that mission statement. They've got to forge the consensus of what we are willing to agree to as a conference that we will fight for. For example, you know, when I got here in 2011, there was an internal struggle as to whether or not we should support earmarks or not. You know, those who are against earmarks call them earmarks. People that are for them call them congressionally directed spending. And there's arguments on both sides, but you know, people like Tom Coburn certainly made the very strong case that earmarks are the gateway drug to this massive deficit spending, and we see that. So every Congress, we had reaffirmed the fact that the Republican Senate Conference was opposed to earmarks. Now, it wasn't a rule. It was a conference resolution, one that we had stuck to until all of a sudden we had a bunch of Republican senators sign on to earmarks, and now they've accepted earmarks for the last two omnibus spending bills. This last one that was voted on late Friday, 600 pages of 6,000 earmarks totaling $12 billion, and that's just the first few appropriation bills. We're going to be taking up a couple more, and my guess there will be a few hundred pages of thousands more and billions of dollars more earmarks. So again, we've been rudderless. We've had a leader that keeps everything close to his vest, doesn't tell us what direction he's taking the conference in until it's too late to change direction. I think the latest example of that was the debacle that was the immigration bill, that nobody was asking for an immigration bill. We just want a way to force Biden to actually use the authority he had to secure the border. And if you need to strengthen that authority, we're happy to do that. But we weren't looking at horse trading, and we certainly didn't want to give Democrats cover, political cover. That's what McConnell did. So again, we've got to end the one-man leadership. We need a more collaborative process, a better governing model for the Republican Conference. But it starts with really having the very serious discussion is what are we about? There'll be a wide spectrum. I understand that. But hopefully that we can develop consensus about things that are important to the American public. And here's my suggestion for pretty much a one-sentence mission statement. It would be to provide an effective counter to the destructive policies and ideology of the radical left, which is the Democrat Party. You know, these things that are literally destroying this country. We have not been an effective counter to the Democrats.
Well, I agree on all of those points, and the effective counter is endemic, I think, something to the conservative movement as well as the conference, where, you know, I think the biggest issue has always been this lack of a vision. We're going to do the same thing the Democrats want, but less of it. We're going to do the same thing, but we're going to manage it better. A Democrat conference out there is constantly pushing what their vision will be. Now, I think you know, many people on the conservative side of the aisle don't agree with that vision, and certainly on a number of issues like the border and many others. But the issue is it always kind of revolves around Republicans saying, well, we're going to stop the Democrats. We're going to stop the Democrats. But we don't really delineate what that vision of how we would like sort of this ordered return to normalcy type of country or vision for our management of America would be. And so I actually completely agree with you in terms of that, because It's not enough to simply say what you're against. You must also say what you are for. And in doing so and making those decisions, those hard decisions first, then the conference can come together, find legislation, find priorities, figure out what the hierarchy of that legislation is going to be as the bills come forward. Spending, of course, where it is. You mentioned spending, by the way. And of course, the White House just released, I believe, $7 trillion. I think I saw right before we went. Yeah. To air this today. There we go. So, you know, again, the addiction continues. What can I say?
I think in the past, I think Republicans were legitimately accused of just being the tax collector for the welfare state. You know, internally here inside the bubble, you hear Republicans say, you know, we need to get a result. You know, we need to effectively govern. You know, to me, that's almost code words for we got to do Democrat light. I'd subscribe more to the William F. Buckley definition of conservatism, which is standing athwart history and screaming, stop. We have to stop this madness. So there's a fair amount of stopping that's being required here. You know, I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation. Now, obviously, you got to fund the government, but we need to fund it at a far lower level. And again, you can use some basic metrics to convince the American public. I mean, four years ago, the federal government spent $4.4 trillion. During the last omnibus, this is December 2022, I asked my colleagues and the Washington Press, hey, anybody know how much we spent last year? Blank stares. Somebody said, well, over $1 trillion. No, that's just discretion part. The total was $6.3 trillion. We pretty well locked in that baseline. So we've increased spending 45% from 4.4 to now about 6.4. And now President Biden wants to go to 7.3. This is madness. Our population grew less than 2%. We're increasing spending 45%. So again, there are effective metrics that hopefully we can convince the American public this is unsustainable, and we obviously are spending way too much money, which means we're growing government way too large. And when you grow government, your freedoms recede. It's absolutely a direct proportion. As government grows, freedom recedes. And of course, freedom is the essential ingredient. That's what made this country great.
And there's so many folks out there who keep being told that we need more government to redistribute things. We need to put some of the wealth here, some of the wealth there. And at the same time, what I'd ask to those same people is to say, couldn't we maybe focus on getting the government to focus on the quality of life issues that has gone down across the board? What, not just cities, but rural areas and suburbs has all gone down. Crime is up across the board since Biden took office. The economy is down across the board. Inflation is up, and they play these games of saying, well, the rate is decreasing, so therefore inflation is out. No, it is up. Prices are up. Tell that to anybody who's going to get groceries. And if for Republicans, this is the absolute clear answer. End the madness and restore normalcy. Get people back to that where, you know, to the America where the most important thing for that we're worried about is whether or not we can get those darn cheese curds to work.
You know, understand the redistribution isn't occurring from wealthy to poor. Right now, the redistribution is coming from our children and grandchildren to us here today. It's completely immoral. We are plundering and mortgaging our children's future. You know, I know Tucker Carlson was widely criticized in some circles for going to interview Vladimir Putin. I thought a video he put out was very interesting. He went inside the subway in Moscow, built by Joseph Stalin decades ago. It looked like a cathedral.
We saw what government can do. Senator, we have a quick break, but I want to get into this with you because Ukraine is number one issue going forward. And certainly we have to figure this out in terms of the Senate. We'll be right back here, Senator Ron Johnson.
So they talk about influencers. These are influencers and they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec, where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator Johnson, apologies for the quick capitalist, dirty profit break that we just took right there. But you were making a great point about Ukraine. You were just started to talk about how, and it really is a juxtaposition to the conversation because what are we leveraging our children and grandchildren's future for? Where is this $7.4 trillion going? Because it certainly doesn't seem like it's going to the quality of life of Americans, and we're sending billions and billions more to Ukraine.
No, and it's not going to the benefit of Americans because you have so many of our large metropolitan areas run by Democrats, and they've just been running these cities into the ground. I was mentioning Tucker did a piece showing Stalin's subway system to Moscow. The thing looks like a cathedral. It's safe. Now, again, I'm not suggesting I want to live in a totalitarian state, you know, like Russia, but how free are you when you can't even run the subway or ride the subway safely? When New York governor has to call up the National Guard to protect New York citizens running their subway, there's something gone terribly wrong. I also saw a pretty interesting high altitude picture of is either Hiroshima or Nagasaki, unbelievably beautiful city compared to, and I can't remember which American blighted city they showed in comparison. So again, we're kind of like the frog in a pot of water. I mean, they've turned it up to boil. It's about ready to go full boil, and so many of our fellow citizens don't have a clue.
Well, no, that's a huge tragedy. And even in the city of Milwaukee, which I got to visit for the first time, was January of 2020. I remember I went up to cover an event that President Trump was speaking, and I'd never been there before. I'm a Philly guy, so I'm used to cities that are in decline. And I remember at the beginning of 2020, I said, wow, Milwaukee's a great city. Nobody told me about this. And I actually went to Navy boot camp, obviously not far from there, in Northern Illinois, Great Lakes, Great Mistakes, we call it. And I'd never been to Milwaukee. I said, this is a wonderful city. And then I saw the crime just explode throughout all of 2020, and particularly the homicide rate in Milwaukee. I think I have one of the highest rises in the homicide rate of any city in America. I said, how could this happen? This is such a lovely town, the river coming right through the bridges, so cool. And we realized that it's our basic quality of life that's gone down in terms of all this. I'd love to switch gears, by the way, with you, because, and I was interviewing a couple of your colleagues on Friday morning. We had this announcement about that Biden is announcing that he's sending the U.S. Navy, speaking of the Navy, to get involved in the Middle East and yet another conflict. But we're told that it's purely for humanitarian purposes, and they're just going to build this floating pier with a causeway, and it's only going to take, oh, I don't know, about 1,000 troops to get it done. Senator, this seems like we're slow walking into the escalation into yet another conflict in the world.
Well, first of all, it's a multi-million dollar PR stunt is all it is. It's going to take 2 months. Hopefully this war is over before 2 months has run out. I think it probably would be had the Biden administration not interfered with what Israel's trying to do. In the end, they have to destroy Hamas, and the Biden administration is trying to do everything they can to prevent them from doing so. When the U.S. meddles, when they start dictating Israel's action, Hamas notices. And so Hamas holds out in terms of hostage deals, that type of thing, thinking that they can wait out Israel, and they can just wait for world public opinion to eventually come to their side, like people just completely forgot about the brutal slaughter of October 7th. And now they're focusing on, you know, the very regrettable civilian casualties in the war. But let's face it, it wasn't Israel declaring war on Hamas. Hamas declared war on Israel. They broke the ceasefire, and Hamas needs to be destroyed.
I look at this and I said this on Space Day, I said this on Friday as well, that when you have a situation like this that continues, this is what breeds the ability or potential threat for regional escalation. We've seen the Houthis, which are right in the same neighborhood in the Sinai Peninsula, north of the Red Sea, as well as down south in Yemen, so the other end of the Red Sea, so Suez Canal. They've been using these drones to absolute high effectiveness to block up and really bottle up the commercial traffic through the Red Sea. This, of course, is why that region is so important. We're now effectively seeing the first ever naval blockade or denial of access that's been conducted from land, as a matter of fact. I see this perspective that the U.S. Navy being involved in something like this is going to be a tantalizing target, not just for Hamas, and we don't know specifically what kind of capabilities they have in terms of being able to strike something at sea, but certainly Hezbollah, certainly some of the other bad actors in that region, to include all of these Shia militia, do have the ability to strike anything at sea. And in the same way that we've seen, by the way, Ukrainian forces have actually been pretty capable of taking out Russian sea assets because, again, they're big, they float, you know, not very maneuverable. It's something that's easy to take out with drones. I can't imagine that this pier would not be a tantalizing target for them because, of course, they're going to, they don't care that it's humanitarian aid coming in. They care that it's American.
And of course, remember, it's only Western shipping that's being attacked by the Houthis. Chinese, Russian, Iranian, obviously. I mean, those countries still have the freedom of navigation. We simply don't. So it's important to understand, you know, what all of our foreign entanglements have actually resulted in. We're pushing China and Russia into stronger and stronger alliances. If there's one thing I think the American military, the American Navy needs to do is maintain freedom of navigation on the open seas. That is what has allowed the type of growth in global GDP for the last several decades. That's a good thing. That's something that we can do, and I think we should do. But the Houthis, this is a real threat to that. And again, it's the weakness of the Biden administration. It's the impact of the Ukrainian war that's causing some of this.
And of course, that's absolutely correct, because it's the tactical transfer from these techniques that are learned on the battlefield in Ukraine, that are learned on the seas in the Black Sea, that now get transferred through Shia militia and others, through Iranians, through IRGC that might be involved, that get transferred now to these same tactics that can be used in the Red Sea. For people who don't understand that, that's very much how this situation works. And I have to say, though, Senator, Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin situation, that happened because the United States Navy was operating and may or may not have had a couple intelligence operations, special operations operating off of Navy ships into the communist-held areas of Vietnam. Communists respond. Then, of course, that response gets lied about by the intel community. Definitely nothing like that has ever happened since then. And the United States find themselves embroiled in a much larger conflict. I have to say, does this breed something that's very similar along those same lines, Senator?
Well, again, my concern is, to what extent is the administration, our government, telling us the truth? We know they've lied repeatedly to us over the decades. We never should have gone full-scale war in Vietnam. You know, John F. Kennedy had issued an executive order to pull all troops out a few days before he was assassinated. And then we had the administration continue to lie to us time and time again, whether it's body counts or whatever. 58,000 Americans should not have lost and sacrificed their lives in Vietnam. I was just recently in Hanoi, beautiful country, hardworking, industrious. You really don't see squalor because they are so hardworking and industrious. We never should have gone to war, but we went to war because of the fear that is always created. That's, you know, whether it's climate change, whether it's fear of a pandemic, whether it's fear of, you know, fill in the blank. Back then it was the domino effect. I think the same thing we're hearing in terms of Ukraine right now. I personally don't think that Russia would have much of an appetite to take on a full NATO country. They thought they could roll up Ukraine. They weren't able to because the unbelievably courageous Ukrainian people and some of those asymmetric warfare tactics that you're talking about. And so I don't see personally Russia, when this conflict ends, just licking its chops, taking on a NATO country against our full Article 5 capabilities and our full weaponry. But again, that's what we're always told. That's one of the sales pitches for $60 billion of, you know, sending more money into fueling a bloody stalemate. Or we're also told, it's really not going to Ukraine. It's going to create jobs in your state, which I think is a really depraved justification for supporting Ukraine. So again, across the board, listen, I hate the reality in Ukraine right now. Vladimir Putin is an evil war criminal. That's, without dispute. But the fact of the matter is, Putin won't lose this war. He's got four times the population. The average age of a Ukrainian soldier right now is 43. Inside Ukrainian officials are saying things, well, send us all the weapons you have. We don't have the men to fire them. They have far larger capacity of producing the 155-millimeter shells, which is what this war is mainly being fought with now. 4.5 million a year. We can do about 1 million. And oh, by the way, Russia spends $600 a shell. The West spends up to 8,000 euros, maybe average $5,000 to $6,000 a shell, 10 times what Russia is producing these shells for. So Russia's not going to lose. Losing is existential to Putin. He's got nuclear weapons. So better we recognize that reality and figure out some way to bring this bloody stalemate to an end.
Well, and Senator, you've got a you've got another big name in that same camp as you today. So it's not just President Trump who's been out there saying this. There's a number of European leaders, and one leader, world leader, you could say, is Pope Francis, has come out over the weekend, and we've seen a lot of people even now attacking him as saying that he's a Russian plant or a Putin apologist and all this, simply for making the same case as you, calling for peace. 1 minute until the break. Senator Ron Johnson.
Well, he's being a realist. I'm trying to be a realist. And again, you ignore reality at your own peril. But we do it time and time and time again. Again, what I would ask Americans to do is, you know, just look back in history. You know, retrospectively, what has been the result of our foreign financial entanglements? You know, there was no domino effect after Vietnam fell. Now they're actually a quite friendly nation that wants to trade with us. Take a look at
in
the
fact,
result
after
of that
Vietnam
game.
Fell. They went and held a war with China, which was another communist country, but that was because of their, you know, poor relations in between the two of them. So be right back in 1 second, Senator Ron Johnson.
Where's Jack? Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack.
Thank you.
What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack, so back here live, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, we wanted to get into this next question with you for the border. I have a quick ad to read first, though. The world is in flames. Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. Will not ruin my day, because you know why? It's because I start every day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values, from sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping. They embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, we love this stuff. You guys are going to love it too. It powers us, powers the show, powers everything we do. BlackoutCoffee.com/POSO. Use promo code POSO20 for 20% off your first order. Easter's coming up. Give your friends and family the gift of being awake, not woke, with Blackout Coffee. It's BlackoutCoffee.com/POSO. BlackoutCoffee.com/POSO. Promo code POSO20. Senator Johnson, I want to go back to the border here, and specifically, even though it's not a border story necessarily, this situation with President Biden just not only, I would say, disrespecting the name of Laken Riley, this victim at the hands of, again, suspected, alleged, et cetera, all the legal terms of an illegal immigrant, but then coming out and apologizing to the illegal immigrant for referring to him as an illegal. When it comes to the Senate, when you have to deal with people on the other side of the aisle, do you face this kind of rhetoric and this type of ideology? Because I'm very confused why someone at that level of American leadership would put the feelings of people who are not our citizens ahead of those who are our citizens, and particularly a grieving family.
Well, look at the way Democrats vote here in Congress. You know, the House passed the Laken Riley Act. You know, pretty common sense. If somebody's convicted of burglary, you know, crimes, they get deported. I mean, isn't that obvious? They're in this country illegally, they commit a crime, and they should be deported. 170 Democrats in the House, I think it was, voted against that. Yet we had a great amendment by Bill Hagerty just Friday on this appropriation bill that said, the census can't include illegal aliens in the census count. And, you know, every Democrat voted against that because that is their game plan. Even as much as they're going to try and help these illegal immigrants to vote. That's what mail-in balloting is about. That's what all this registration is about. That's, you know, the weaponization of the federal government to, you know, basically turn these folks into voters. That's what that's all about. But even if they don't vote, they're going to be counting the census. And so, for example, California will probably get more congressional seats on the basis of their illegal immigrant population. And Jack, the other thing that has to be talked about is what we're seeing in the Darien Gap. We've got reporters going down there, you know, witnessing these camps of, for example, military age Chinese men. You've got the non-governmental organizations right next to these camps. And by the way, we fund that. I mean, so if you're not concerned about the human, the sex, the drug trafficking, the overdoses, the rechanging of our electorate by counting these folks in the census, you ought to be concerned about the fact that your taxpayer dollars are being used by these non-governmental organizations to orchestrate this invasion, and in many cases, invasion of military-age men from countries adversarial to America. If this isn't an outrageous, clear, and present danger to this nation, I don't know what is.
And Elon Musk, by the way, Senator, I'm sure you've seen, has also been tweeting a storm up about this, pointing out this very fact that it makes no sense whatsoever to include these numbers within our census. It is diluting our numbers. It is diluting these congressional seats and giving more of an incentive. I was almost joking that, off air with producer Foz, I said, maybe Greg Abbott should leave some of them in Texas somewhere that, you know, so they'll be at least counted so Texas can get some more of those seats. We've created a complete disaster in our country. We've created this situation where, of course, the administration and, you know, the powers that be on the Democrat side want to create, and you heard Biden say this, he talked about pathway to legalized status. I don't think he said citizenship specifically, but he said he was sort of talking around it by saying legalization to allow them to stay. And then, of course, their children would already be able to stay because of birthright citizenship. And I have to say, I think they're looking at this as a voting block because they realize that if they have their coalition as and this being part of it, then, hey, why worry about trying to convince people of your arguments when you can just import more voters?
Well, this has always been their strategy. I mean, Mayorkas, when he came into office, he would never admit that they had a crisis or even a problem at the border. It was a challenge. And they were rising to the challenge in their own minds by becoming more efficient at encountering processing, dispersing. That was their whole goal, to efficiently process and disperse illegal immigrants all through the country, you know, probably to the states where it can make, you know, they probably have this scientifically figured out exactly where they want to set, where they can send them to create new congressional seats and where they're going to create them. So no, this has been orchestrated by the Biden administration, by non-governmental organizations that the American taxpayer is paying for. That's outrageous.
The American people are very upset with this. When you're talking to your Senate colleagues, is that anger felt? Is that is that emotion? Is that sentiment when people call in? When people use Bill Blaster, like when they come in from War Room? Do you think that the level of anger is getting across?
Well, it is on the Republican side. I think the Democrats, only because people like Mayor Adams, Mayor Johnson started complaining about the illegal immigrants in their sanctuary cities overwhelming them, you know, going to destroy New York City. So all of a sudden the mainstream media had to start covering this. And so the Democrats, again, this is where it was such a blunder on the part of McConnell. They weren't looking to negotiate a true border security bill. They were just looking for political cover. That's all they've wanted. They've wanted political cover, and unfortunately, Mitch McConnell gave it to them. Hopefully, the American public won't be distracted by, you know, that fact. Instead, we'll take a look at the rally situation and realize that, no, Biden and his Democrat colleagues, they want an open border. They caused this, and all they were looking for was political cover in that awful bill that would have been worse than doing nothing.
Well, I think it would have been at the same time, this minibus seems like it's going through in the Senate. Are we planning to see another series of these come forward after the end of this month, or has the Senate leadership situation kind of stymied that a bit?
No, I think the fiscal year 2024 appropriations, I think that deal has been sealed. It'll pass in the House, it'll pass in the Senate. Again, I was for a full year CR as the least worst alternative, mainly because we could have saved close to $100 billion and there wouldn't have been earmarks in them. But now we got the earmarks, we got all the big spending. We better turn our attention to fiscal year 2025 and under Speaker Johnson, we need to start digging our heels in, and Republicans here in the Senate have to dig our heels in as well and say, we're not going to continue this. We're not going to provide cloture on bills that don't adhere pretty closely to what the House, and hopefully it'll be House proposals led by the conservatives, not the big spenders.
Well, I think that's been a huge part of this because, again, we're seeing $7 trillion from the White House. We're seeing big spending bills come out of the Senate. We're seeing agreements come from the House. And I'd love to see a bit more backbone out of our representation in all of Congress. I'll say it that way, in all of Congress, because the way to use our leverage is the way to get some of this border situation under wraps until the next Congress gets seated.
Well, again, McCarthy pretty well frittered away our leverage that the House Freedom Caucus gave him in agreeing to increase the debt ceiling of $1.5 trillion. Instead of negotiating that, he suspended it. That will increase the debt ceiling by about $4 trillion. He locked in spending levels, which was just difficult for Speaker Johnson to basically violate. So 2024 was pretty well cooked by McCarthy. We have a chance in 2025, and I hope we seize that chance. I mean, $7.3 trillion budget is absurd. It is absurd when you figure in 2019, we spent in total $4.4 trillion. This is out of control. We need to do everything we can to bring it into tighter control.
Tighter control, actually tighten the belt. Senator Ron Johnson, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for being here, as always, Univents Daily, letting us know what is going on behind the curtain up there in the United States Senate, Capitol Hill. God bless you, sir.
Have a great day.
All right, you as well. Folks, you know that when you stick here on Human Events, we're going to go into the deep weeds of everything that's going on in this country and beyond, because our representatives know this is the way forward and this is the way out. Be right back. One more segment. Human Events.
Long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, boys and girls, I've got a question for you. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and the next thing you know, you're getting ads for products that match exactly what you were talking about? Between the government, big tech, corporate America, and criminals, your privacy is compromised 24/7. This is on top of the side effects from radiation that the cell phone companies totally swear is safe, and the brain-numbing effects of social media. Detox from your phone today with Silent. Silent is a light and portable Faraday sleeve that your mobile device that will protect your privacy, security, and health. Its patented Silent Pocket Faraday technology blocks harmful radiation and all wireless signals, giving you the peace of mind that your personal data never ends up in the wrong hands. Go silent today at slnt.com/poso. Use promo code POSO and save 15% plus free shipping on qualifying orders. Look, I'm in the spotlight challenging the government, the Klaus Schwabs, the corporate interests, and this is on top of the left. I've got to protect my privacy at all times. And I'm so thankful that Silent was created. Go to slnt.com/poso. Again, that's slnt.com/poso. Use promo code POSO to save 15% plus free shipping on qualifying orders. All right, folks. Let's do a little debate here. And everybody in the chat, want to make sure about that. By the way, shout out to the chats on Rumble, on Getter, on Twitter, X, all the people out there. We see you. We follow you. Sometimes if you were watching on Thursday, I pop in the chat here and there. So shout out to all the guys in the live chat. Let's do a little debate right now and make sure that you're subscribing to us on Rumble and on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and everywhere. Do a little debate. Which country would you rather be right now? Would you rather be, you couldn't be the United States. All right, we're going to do a little guessing game, a little Caribbean guessing game. El Salvador or Haiti? El Salvador or Haiti? Now, we remember that El Salvador, up until a couple of years ago, was run by criminal cartels. But now, El Salvador is safe. What happened? His name is Pele. He took over. He got rid of gangs. Haiti now is essentially in a gang civil war because the black magic voodoo cannibals have launched war on the government itself, have decided to declare open war, and you've got other criminal warlords now going to war with the other gangs. This is now Haiti, of course. For folks who don't know, Haiti is kind of I call it the black magic occult offshoot of the French Revolution. It's part of the French Revolution cinematic universe. And the complete insanity that is going on down there is because of this, that this was a country that was founded on these complete and utter just envious resentment, anger, abject hatred of what was going on. In fact, I don't think when we did Chronicles of Revolution, I think, guys, do we have the QR code for that? Put it up. So when we did Chronicles of Revolution, we did cover the French Revolution. We maybe mentioned Haiti a little bit as in part of that. But the Haitian Revolution, so it was a slave revolt where all of the French, the families, the children, the wives were slaughtered. Every single one of them just absolutely wiped out from that island. Merciless, absolutely merciless, and just brutalized the little girls and little boys that were living there just for the crime of being French, for the crime of having French blood. And so that's how the country of Haiti was founded. And it's quite different from the Dominican Republic, which is right on the other side of the island, where over there, it's, you know, I had a friend who just visited there. They hung out on the resort. They had a good time. I could ask him. I know he watches. I could ask him if they encountered a little, you know, if they encountered any cannibalism while they were there. I don't think so, though. This shows what happens when you have a country whose government is run by the insane people, and you don't lock the insane people up. The crazies take over. They get into voodoo, they unleash demonic black energy, and this is what you see run wild across the innocent people who don't deserve this, who absolutely do not deserve what is happening to them. But of course, if you don't have a stable government, if you don't have stable relations, if you don't have a government that in a system that is based on merit, a system that is based on maintaining order, on maintaining quality of life, if you have a system that's based on essentially who's the most envious, who's the most violent, then that's what you're going to get. You're going to get that every single time. And that's Haiti right now. And of course, by the way, you know the Biden administration is going to turn around and say, oh, well, we've got to take these people in. We've got to bring them in. We got to put them all in the Midwest. We got to put them all in the Mall of America and have them up there. And we've got to put them in all these, you know, quote unquote, the neolibs like love to say, oh, there's all these empty states in the Midwest and out West. Why can't we just put more refugees out there? No, absolutely not. In fact, why don't we take the excess illegals that we have now and we can send them to Haiti, because someone needs to make Haiti great again. And if we've got these wonderful, incredible illegal immigrants, then why don't we send them to Haiti? In fact, why don't we take the guy who killed Laken Riley and send him straight to Haiti right now? Just drop him in there. No jail. Just let him out. Let him know the directions to the cannibal barbecue guy. And see what happens. My friend texts, who is just in the Dominican Republic, no cannibalism, just epidemic laziness. So there we go. That's it happens. Look, the island culture, it is what it is. But folks, this is serious. This is our world. If you do not have a good system, if you do not have, you think we're this far away from anarchy, you think Haiti can't happen here, you think Haiti can't happen in American cities if the crazies are allowed to be given, Pittsburgh isn't even going to have police overnight anymore or something. It's like the purge night over there. Let me tell you something. The images that you can see in Haiti, the tire necklacing that's coming out of there. Go look that up. You want to go see something very fun. Do that when your family's not around. If you don't think that can happen in every single American city, and will be happening very soon, then you aren't paying attention. And this is why we need President Trump back in office to return America to normalcy. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission.
Leisure.